my gosh. Welcome to First Baptist Church. So good to have all of you here. So good to see so many of you here. I know school is back in and all of the people are not on vacation anymore, so you're all here. Super excited to have you here. You are coming kind of at the tail end of our sermon series on 1 John. David and I are going through that book. We've been doing it together. It's been great. We hope that it's been a blessing to you. We hope that the Lord is using it in your lives. It's a three-month sermon series, all right? June, July, and August. Pretty huge just to be going through this book. We're going chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and Sunday by Sunday, what we're trying to show you is how believers live. And we hope that you've seen how believers live. That's really kind of what John wants to get across to his audience as he's reading, and it's what we want to get across in this sermon series. I am going to be in 1 John chapter 3, verse 13, all the way through 24. And so if you have a Bible, you can open it up. We'll get there in some time. But as you kind of come to this book in Scripture, I don't know if you know this. We haven't talked about it until right now. But this is, if like 1 Corinthians is like the chapter of love in the Bible, this is the book of love, all right? This is the book all about love. And I say that because over 25% of the verses in John have the word love in them, okay? 25%, that's huge, all right? This is a small book, really small, 105 verses. Do you know how many times John mentions love in those 105 verses? 46 times, all right? It's a huge, huge overarching theme in this book. And as I was kind of coming to this book, I kind of wanted to think about love. And I was kind of thinking, when was the last time like I really showed love to somebody? And then I realized like, you guys are just going to be looking up here and I'm just going to be talking about how great I am and how great I am at showing love to people. And I was like, okay, we'll not go that way. So what I want to do is tell you one of the most recent times in my life where I was shown love, and it was a big deal to me. It happened on Father's Day, just about 5 weeks ago, all right? I wake up on Father's Day, it's Sunday. I should be really excited because it's Father's Day and Sunday. If you don't remember what happens here on Father's Day morning, it's bacon day, okay? It's bacon for Dad's Day. It should have been the best day of my life. I don't know why, but I wake up totally grumpy. And I'm just like not feeling it that day. And it's Father's Day. I usually bring one of my kids to the church with me pretty much every Sunday. As they're getting older, though, that's starting to taper off. It's a little bit sad. So shed a tear for me when you think about this. So that Sunday, I wake up Hallie. She's my 11-year-old. She's my youngest. And it's her turn to go to work with Dad, which means you get to get up really early and you get to get here at the church before 7 a.m. And all the kids, I think this is why they kind of taper off as they get into high school, because they just want to sleep in. And I'm like waking them up and shaking them. Let's go, let's go. So I wake up Hallie. And we kind of go and we get ready in our separate quarters. And then we kind of meet in the living room. And that's where we kind of walk out the garage together. We go and get in the truck. Now, she loves to beat me to the truck. She loves to beat me to the truck because she likes to start the truck. She gets the keys. She starts the truck for me. She runs over on her side. She gets in and she's all ready. So I finally get to the truck and I open the door. And what she does when I'm just kind of grumpy and kind of horrible just breaks me, right? I was not expecting this when it happened, but it just breaks me, all right? She hands me a card the second that I get into the truck. Like an 11-year-old remembered that it was Father's Day without mom saying, hey, remember it's Father's Day. She writes me a note and I read the note in my car before I come here with her right next to me and I'm just bawling. And so that, it just meant so much to me. I want to read it to you, but I want to kind of preface it with some things that I need to say before we get into it. Listen, if you know me at all, you know if I read this, I'm gonna cry, okay? So just know that if you don't wanna see a grown man cry today, the exit doors are there. Go to the cafe, all right? Ask them for a drink, they'll make you the drink. As soon as the drink is in your hand, probably I will have stopped crying by that point. You can come back in, okay? A lot of people tell me that when I tell a story like that and I cry, it makes them cry. So I just want to warn you, you might cry. But listen, I'm not trying to make you cry. I'm not trying to make you cry even a little bit, okay? All right. Hey, Tony, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. What's going on in Tony's life that he can play music that sad? Are you all right? I appreciate it. That's all I need. Thank you, Tony. I appreciate it. All right, let's put this letter up here. This is from Hallie to Dad. Happy Father's Day, Dad. You're the most best dad in the world. Now, I only wanted to share that just so all of you know who the best dad is, okay? I would never want to have a other dad ever in the world. You mean the world to me. You don't even know how much I love you. Cross some things out. I can't even say the number. Happy Father's Day. I love you. God, I'm telling you, when I was just in this horrible mood, I mean, I was bawling. I said, thank you so much. I needed this so much today. John, as he's writing these people about 1900 years ago, especially as we get to these verses 13 through 24, he wants his readers, the people that he's talking to, the people that he's writing to, he wants them to know something. And I want you to know the same thing that he wanted them to know a long time ago. And it's this: real Jesus followers really love. Real Jesus followers really love. Listen, if you're a Jesus follower, you don't kinda love. If you're a Jesus follower, you don't sorta, sometimes, kinda love. You really love. This should be your goal. And maybe you're thinking, oh, good, I'm not a Jesus follower. Okay, well, that's cool. But listen, if you put into practice what we're about to go through and you're not a follower of Jesus, it will change your life. And if you are a follower of Jesus, this should be your goal, and it should be characteristic of your life and everything that you do. It's a big thing, all right? As John is writing this letter, he wants them to know everything that they can about love, because there was something that had seeped into the church, this teaching, this idea that said, hey, since everything in that's physical is bad and evil, that's the thought that was kind of permeating these churches, everything is that's physical is evil. No matter what you do in your body, because it's physical, it doesn't matter because it's evil anyway. And John writes this letter, and he doesn't write it in this like way that like says, these guys believe this, and this is what you should believe, and they believe this, and you should believe this. He doesn't do that. Like a master painter, he writes this beautiful letter that every single verse attacks and dismantles these thinkings, these ideas that had seeped into the church, that were beginning to be propagated in the church. So much so that these people rose up within the church and they said, let's get out of here. And John is like, that idea, those ideas are horrible for Jesus followers, and you shouldn't believe them. And every single verse just dismantles those ideas one by one, over and over again, and he does it so masterfully. So as we get into verse 13, what you're gonna see is John is gonna talk a lot about love. That's the main theme that you're gonna see over and over again. And as we get to verse 13, he's gonna start with love and hate. All right, he's gonna give us what love is, and then he's gonna start talking about hate as well, and he's gonna kind of put them against each other and say basically that hate has no part in a believer's life. Let's go to verse 13 first. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. Don't be surprised, John tells those believers living 1900 years ago. The world is going to hate you. Don't be surprised by it. Do you know why he wrote that? He knew that some of those people had been surprised that the world was hating them. They're like, oh my gosh, why do you hate me? I love you. And John is saying, don't be surprised by that. Why wouldn't they need to be surprised by it? Well, don't forget that the world hated Jesus. They hated him so much so that they killed him. They crucified him on a cross. All right? They killed Jesus Christ. 3 days later, he raises again. All right? And it's then that all of these followers begin to follow him again. And John is saying, look, if the world hated Jesus and killed him, and you're following him, don't be surprised that the world hates you too. But there was also another reason they shouldn't be surprised. The other reason is that they shouldn't be surprised because the people in the world, they weren't Jesus followers, they were of the world. That word world means that whole system or people against Jesus, all right? And so John is saying, well, why would they love you? That's what would be surprising if the world around you loved you and didn't know Jesus. But the world around you doesn't know Jesus. So why would they act like they know him? Why would they love you? What they're doing is what they can do. They can hate because that's their nature. And John is saying to them, don't be surprised by that. And then he says, we know, we believers, all right? We know that we've passed out of death into life, all right? That's not something you usually hear. You usually hear someone passes away and it's from life to death. This is the opposite of that. It's passing from death to life. It's like being rebirthed or reborn. This is the same idea that Jesus talked to Nicodemus about in John 3. And he says, you have to be born again. You have to come out of death into life. He says, we know that we've passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. I love John does this time and time again all throughout this book. He says, he basically gives us a test. Anybody who's reading what John wrote, it's like they give themselves a self-test right away because of what John says. And he says, well, we know that we've passed out of death into life. We know that we have salvation. We know that we're saved because we love the brothers. And so it makes the person hearing this think, do I love the brothers? And if my answer to that is no, then I haven't passed from death to life. If my answer is yes, I have passed from death to life. I have a new beginning. I am reborn. So he's saying, look, we know we've passed out of death to life because we love the brothers. Love the brothers is just the brethren or the people. Love one another is another way you could say it. It's the people who also love God. So he's like, your love for others is going to be proof that you've passed from death to life. Whoever does not love abides in death. There's that word abide again. John uses it all throughout his gospel. Abide means to have a close relationship with something. The word actually means to remain, but it means that I'm in God and God is in me. All right? That's what abide means when we're talking about abiding with God. But if we're abiding in death because we don't love, what it means is we remain in death. We haven't passed from death to life. It's a bad place to be. And hate is the proof that we haven't passed from death to life. This is verse 15. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. Yeah, he just got right to it, didn't he? If you look a few verses before the verses that we're in today, probably 11 and 12, John talks about two brothers a long, long time ago, Cain and Abel. Cain hated Abel, especially because of his relationship with God. And so Cain, seeing all of these things about Abel, hating his relationship with God, being jealous and everything else, has hate in his heart for his brother, and Cain kills his brother, Abel. He just talked about that in the verses before this. So he says, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. But he just told a story about an actual person who hated his brother and then actually murdered him. And now John is saying to the church, to believers, anyone who has hate, anyone who hates, is a murderer. This echoes what Jesus said. He said the exact same thing. If you hate, you've committed murder. Then he says, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. So why did he say that last part? It doesn't mean that no one who has ever killed anyone is now in heaven. That's not what it's saying. It's not saying if you've ever killed someone, you can't go to heaven. That's not what it's saying. But if you live a life of unrepentant hate and murder is an outflow of that, that person won't be passing from death to life. He remains in death. So now John has talked about love and hate. We've seen that love is the proof that we're his. Love is the proof that we have salvation. And now John moves on to the next thing, love in action. Because love isn't just a thing that we feel, it's a thing that we need to act on. So this is the next verses. By this, we know love. John is saying, look, here's how you and me, people that he's writing to, here's how we know what love is. That Jesus, that he laid down his life for us. If you want to know what love is, if you've experienced salvation, you know what it is. It's that God loved you so much that he sent Jesus here and Jesus obeyed. And Jesus came here, lived a perfect life, and then is crucified in your place, takes your sin upon himself, and dies for it. That, my friends, is love. There's nothing more loving than that. And John is like, we know love because Jesus laid down his life for us. It sounds really nice until you get to this next part. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. Well, it was better when he was doing the laying of his life down. That was so much better than us having to do that. He tells his readers, hey, you know love because Jesus laid his life down for you. Now you need to lay down your life for one another. Now, in our context, that's probably not going to happen. Let's just be honest. I'm probably never going to have to lay down my life for you. You'll probably never have to lay your life down for me or anybody else in here, most likely. But that's one way that we can show love to one another. There's other ways as well, but we have to be willing. We have to be willing to do whatever we can for one another. So he continues, but if anyone has the world's goods, this is the second way you can show love to people. If anybody has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in that person? What's the other way you can show love to people? You see a need that they have, and if you have the means to meet that need, you meet that need. That's another way you can show love to each other. Now that one could come across your vision every single day. A little more likely than laying your life down for somebody. Today, you're gonna see an announcement. It's gonna start talking to you about getting into a connect group. This is what happens in connect groups. People see one another's needs. And those who have the means to meet those needs, meet those needs. If you get into a group, you're gonna have a group around you. And when your group sees you in need, and they have the means to meet your need, they're gonna do it, and they're not even gonna think twice about it. It's a cool thing about groups. The reverse is also true. You're going to get in a group and you're going to see somebody in that group has a need. And you might be the one who has the means to meet that need. And don't just think money. That's not even close to what I'm thinking of. There's so much more that we need from each other. If you're not in a group, listen, we don't say it because we like saying connect groups. We say it because it's part of scripture and God has called you and I to live our lives in community with other people so that we can show love to one another like John is talking about here. Love doesn't abide in you if you see somebody's need and you don't meet it. Little children, John says. Remember, he's writing to these people that just look up to him. He's the old apostle, the one with wisdom. Everybody loves him. So he says, little children, let us not love the love in word or talk. I love this. We don't just say we love each other. We show we love each other. It's in deed. Let us not love in word or talk, but in deed. All right? We have to do something if we love someone. How horrible would it have been if God just looked down at us and said, I love you. Didn't send Jesus. Or maybe he did send Jesus and Jesus says, I love you, I love you. And for 3 years, he says, I love you and never does anything about it. Love requires action. You can't just say it. You got to prove it. And love acted out. That's what really counts. Not in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. That word truth means reality. Love in actual reality. Not VR, not virtual reality. Love in actual reality. You can't just say you love somebody. You have to prove you love somebody by doing something about it and do it in reality. So now we've talked about love and hate. We've talked about love in action. John now is going to go to the next part, love and belief. I love this part of this scripture because I think we all know God's command is for us to love one another. We've talked about it multiple times through this whole sermon series. We know that that's Jesus's new command, a new command I give you, love one another. We know all of that. There's another one that John brings up here. I absolutely love it. Hopefully it floors you like it floored me. We'll get to it in a few verses, but here's the next verse. By this, by what? By love, by our love, by showing our love, by doing our love, we shall know that we're of the truth. All right. Again, he's like, how can I know that I'm of the truth? How can I know that I'm saved? How can I know that I'm God's and God is mine? By your love, you shall know. And we'll reassure our hearts before him. All right. What that means is if I'm doing the right things, if the Lord says, I want you to love and I'm going out and I'm loving, that reassures my heart that I'm doing what the Lord wants me to do. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and he knows everything. Have you ever kind of started and you're like, okay, God is calling me to love. I'm going to love. And the next thing you know, you've totally shown hate to somebody. And your heart convicts you. Your conscience is like, not good, dude, not good. In that case, when your heart condemns you, God is bigger than your heart. He knows everything. You just keep moving forward. He's not gonna condemn you when you're trying to follow what he's asked you to do. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. All right. If God says, hey, Joe, you should love other people, and I go around loving other people and trying to honor God in my life, I can be assured that I'm doing what God has asked me to do. And I can have confidence before God that at the very least, I'm doing the things that he's asked me to do. And whatever we ask, we receive from him. He just kind of throws that in there. It's like, okay, if you have this confidence because you're following the Lord and you're honoring him, you can ask whatever you want and you receive it from him. Now, it sounds really cool. It's like, okay, like whatever, cool. Because I could use bigger house. I could use better cars. I could use more money. I can use all of these. That's not exactly what it's talking about. In fact, as you honor God in all things, as you're loving people, what happens is, and as you spend more and more time with God, you begin to become a little more like God. And you begin to align yourself with God's will. And now the things that you pray are probably going to be the things that he would want you to pray, not just random things that you want. Because you've aligned yourself to his will for your life. And so if I'm reading this passage and I'm thinking, okay, what things do I need to pray about? Maybe I'm going to pray about God, help me not to hate, even when it feels so easy. And God, help me to love. Why? Because I'm spending time with the Lord and he's telling me what he wants in my life. And what do I want in my life? If I'm getting closer to him, I want what he wants for me. And his will becomes my will and they're parallel. So the things that I'm going to be asking for is the things he wants me to be asking for. Like these things. Because we keep his commandments and we do what pleases him. Listen, we don't do God's commandments and do what pleases him so that he accepts us. We do those things because he has accepted us. And I want to please him in everything that I do, so I do the things that he asked me to do. And this is the commandment. Here it is. This is cool. That we believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ. Did you know that was a commandment? Maybe you're sitting there today and you're like, I've obeyed that commandment and I didn't even know it was a commandment. But maybe you're sitting there and you're thinking, I didn't know that was a commandment and I've never believed in Jesus. There's no better day to believe in Jesus, if that's you, than today. And what I would say is take this directly like it's coming out of God's mouth. Because it says, this is his commandment. Believe in his son, Jesus Christ. If you're thinking, I don't know if I should, it's a command for you to do. And then we have the other command, and love one another just as he commanded us. Here's the last verse. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, remains in God, and God in him. And by this, we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. He gave us the Spirit. The second you placed your faith in him, he gives you his Spirit in you. His Spirit abides in you. That's him in you and you and in him. There's nothing better. And what does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit helps you honor God in all things. The Holy Spirit will guide you to love people. The Holy Spirit will convict you when you don't. God in you. It's almost like God knew you couldn't do it alone. So he puts his Holy Spirit in you to help. The next thing that I'm going to say is really important for believers. I think it's something that we don't really talk about very much, definitely not from the stage, but it's something that I think will make the difference in your life between loving somebody and hating somebody. If you can understand what I'm about to tell you now, it's going to make a huge difference in your life and the way that you treat other people. Don't expect the world to act like Jesus. Listen. The world who doesn't know Jesus will never act like Jesus. So when they come into our church, don't expect them to act and think and believe like you do. They won't. Do you know what I never do on a nice sunny day like today? I never go outside and I never say, look up there. Look at that beautiful dog flying so high up in the air. You know why I don't ever do that? Because it's not in a dog's nature to fly. You can't expect someone who doesn't have the nature of Christ in them to behave like Christ. The way they think, the things that they do, the way they talk, the places they go, the things they think, none of it is going to be like someone who's following Jesus. And we shouldn't expect it to. What we should do, though, is we should look at them and show them grace every step of the way, because that used to be you and me if you've put your faith in Jesus. So when somebody comes into this church and they don't look like you and they don't think like you and they don't do the same things you do, they definitely don't talk like you, and you might hear a word that you shouldn't say in church from somebody sometimes. God forbid. Show them grace and love them. Help them know Jesus so that that nature can be changed. Jesus followers live love. If you're here today, I'm asking you to show love and to live love to every single person who ever steps in this building. And every person that you encounter out in the world, whether they're a believer or Jesus follower or not, love should characterize your life. If you don't believe, believe. If you're sitting there and you're thinking, this isn't me, I don't believe, hear God saying, believe in my son. How do you do that? You turn from all the pain that you've caused yourself and other people. You turn from the wrong that you've done against God and against other people and probably against yourself. And you turn away from all of that and you turn towards God in faith. You put your trust in Jesus. There's no better day to do that than today. If you believe, love. It's about all I need to say about that. If you're a Jesus follower, love. Make it a characteristic of your life. I'm not sure if you're saved, if you're not saved, if you know Jesus, if you're following Jesus or not. But if God is speaking to you today, you probably have some adjustments to make. Maybe you need to confess. You can confess to God right where you are. You don't have to come confess up here. But maybe you just want some prayer. I need to love, or I've been hating, or man, I sure expect people that don't know Jesus to act like they do. If you just need some prayer for some of that, that's great. Come up here in just a moment when the song is playing. Some of us will be up here. We'll pray with you about that or anything else, whatever the Lord is leading you to do. Maybe you just have somebody that you want to pray for. We can pray for that person. We'd love to pray for that person with you. Maybe you want to put your faith in Jesus for the first time. Come up here and tell us. We can't wait to hear about that. Maybe you're looking for a church that's going to be filled with people who love because we're filled with people who follow Jesus. If you want to be a part of a church like that, come tell us you want to join the church. Whatever God is leading you to do, you need to do that. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so very much. We thank you for John. Thank you for what he wrote 1900 years ago to these people living afar off from where we do. We're so thankful that Jesus didn't just love us by word or by talk, but that he did something about it. We're thankful that he didn't just say he loved us. We're thankful that he proved it by dying for each one of us. Would you help us respond to you however you want us to today, so that we can honor you as we move forward in our lives for the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.